talk basketball on The Bill Riley Show with Utah women's head basketball coach Lynn Roberts. From her team to the Pac-12 to anything around the country, honestly, who knows what they'll talk about today. Now here's Bill Riley with Coach Lynn Roberts on Utah's number one sports talk and home of the Utes, ESPN 700.
Gonna have to change that open to include the John Wooden Pac-12 Coach of the Year, Lynn Roberts, who joins us right now. Good season just continues to get better for Utah women's basketball. They get ready to head to Vegas a little bit later on this afternoon to get ready for their opening round game on Thursday night. Lynn joins us right now. Congratulations.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. It's been a good few days for our program, and we're excited to head down to Vegas, and the new season starts now. It's kind of crazy that it's already here.
You think it's been a good couple of days? I'd say so.
Yeah, it's been fun. The Saturday's win against Stanford to share the title with them was one that I won't forget. Just the crowd, the atmosphere, you know, 10,000 people, and kind of the vision that I had when I took this job kind of coming to fruition was incredibly satisfying and really a fun day. And then, you know, just Alyssa Peely getting Conference Player of the Year is huge and so deserved and earned, and I'm so proud of her. And Gianna Niepkins, first team all Pac-12 as well, that's no easy plight, back-to-back first teams for her. And then Kennedy McQueen and Jenna Johnson making the all Pac-12 honorable mention. So individual awards for just a great team.
So I've known you since the day you took the job. I think I interviewed you day one on the job, and we have become friends over the years. And I don't think I've ever asked you this. There's an old saying that goes, if it was easy, everybody would do it and everybody would succeed in it. This wasn't easy. So when or if was there ever a doubt whether your dream would become reality? Was there ever a moment in a tough season or at the end of a season or between seasons where maybe you had some doubts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it sticks, you know, those moments of doubt. But sure, there's moments where it's, you know, it's really hard. And 2 years ago during that COVID year, we had a bad year. And, you know, as anybody, if you're trying to do something that's never been done, you really have to just keep evaluating and adapting and changing and trying to be better. You know, the moment you stop is the moment the dream does die. And so I never stopped, but, you know, there's definitely been moments where I thought, okay, this isn't the way we should do it. We got to, you know, this isn't working. Let's fix it. This isn't working. Let's change it. This is working. Let's build on that. Like, it's a constant process of, you know, just trying to be better and having the, you know, both confidence and humility to realize that you can always be better and do better and learn and all that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't say that I ever, you know, had long stretches of doubt, but there were certainly times where, you know, you just kind of feel like you're beating your head against the wall. But I don't think anything great comes without that. So it's part of, you know, it's part of the process, and we've just pushed through, and I'm really proud of it.
You got a sense last year you really liked that group. Obviously, you guys made a great run late in the season. You added Alyssa to that group this offseason. I've asked you this before, but, you know, was there a point in the season, was there a point maybe in off-season workouts where you thought, okay, her with this group, this is what I thought it would be?
I think, yes. I mean, as we started to get into practice, we didn't dump a whole bunch on her in terms of expectation. It was just, you know, come in and work to become the best version of yourself. And I didn't, you know, when she came, it wasn't like, okay, you know, everything's got to go through her and the pressure's on her. But I think the moment where I thought, you know, oh, wow, this could be different is when we were in the Bahamas and we played Alabama, who's, you know, tournament team, and we beat them in a close game. And then we played Ole Miss and we were down with a minute to go. And she basically took the last minute and a half over and made some just incredible plays. And I thought, oh, wow, like this is, this player has a different gear or whatever. Like she's a gamer. Like she can make big plays in those big moments. So, and she has all season long. So I think that, I mean, after that game, I was talking with Gavin, my associate head coach, and we were kind of like, huh, this is different. This is great. It's fun to have somebody like that on our team and not the opposing team.
Pac-12 Women's Coach of the Year, Lynn Roberts. She mentioned Alyssa Peely was named Player of the Year this year, and Peely and Jenna Niepkins, first team all-conference this year. What I find interesting about your team is usually by the time we get to March, and tomorrow we will be in March, you're usually down to about a seven-person rotation, kind of a seven-man rotation. You're still playing 9 and 10 players pretty frequently. That's unusual.
It is. But I think that's been, you know, I think it's been key to, you know, our ability to win games late. We're not, you know, our kids are not super tired. I mean, everybody's tired at this point, but, you know, if you're averaging 26 minutes a game versus 36, it's a difference. I mean, in the end of games, and especially in February, you might not be able to tell, but it is a difference as a player. So I think that's just been, you know, and luckily I'm fortunate enough to have the depth that is able to play, because you're right. By the time you get late in February, you know, like Gino Auriemma at UConn always says, have eight, play seven, but trust six. Like, that's his mantra. And you know, I've been fortunate to have more than that, play more than that, and trust more than that.
So you get a co-championship. You share it with Stanford. You beat Stanford on your home floor to get it, which has got to be extra satisfying. How long have you let them celebrate it? How long have you guys enjoyed it? Is it back to business again today? Was it yesterday? What's that time frame for you?
Yeah, I think, I have said this, like, it is a fine line, because I want them to enjoy what they're doing and what they have done. And, you know, I think you've got to celebrate those moments, and then, you know, get back to it. These guys have a pretty good, this group has a pretty good ability to have fun when you're supposed to have fun and then get serious when you're supposed to be serious. So, you know, there's no time to sit around and you know, just kind of revel in your success. But I have not been, you know, hard driving, but, you know, we've been back in practice. We've watched film. We had practice this morning. We had it yesterday. And they're focused. There's not a lot of, you know, silliness or anything like that. They're ready to go. And we talked about it before practice, you know, what's the mood? And they're all just kind of like, let's go. We're ready. And we've proven that we can win on the biggest stage. And now it just gets a little bit harder and a little bit more, you know, important, because, you know, if you lose, you're done for that tournament. So, you know, we're guaranteed to play in the NCAA tournament at this point, but we don't want to, you know, just bank on that. We still want to make some noise in the Pac-12 tournament.
You know, most people had seen, you know, the bracketologists, for what it's worth. They do their best, and they're usually pretty accurate. Had kind of seen you guys as a 2 seed much of this year, and that's fantastic. Were you surprised by the news that the committee put out last week that had you guys as the on the one line?
Yeah, I mean, I it was just kind of like, oh, wow.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's, to me right now at this stage, that's a great goal. And to be a 1 seed would be incredible, obviously. But that's not our focus right now with where our program's at. You know, we just kind of want to go one at a time and see what happens. We are, you know, guaranteed, assumingly, that we'll host the first 2 rounds. And that was the goal. You know, obviously the higher the seed, the more likelihood you have to advance further. So we want to do that, but yeah, it was a little bit like, oh, wow. But haven't spent much time thinking about it or talking about it.
What's the approach this week when you get to Vegas? Obviously, you get the first round bye, so that part of it's good. Rest the legs a little bit and then get to sit back and see who you play. And you know who one of the 2 teams are going to be. But, you know, once you get through that first game, that Final Four is a grind. And anybody, I think, in that Final Four, maybe even the top five, could win the league. So what's the approach when you get down to Vegas this week?
We'll put 100 on red, obviously.
Obviously. Obviously.
Yeah, and again, and this is going to sound like I'm just trying to give you a coach line, but we just have to go one at a time. And, you know, sometimes having that first round bye is absolutely awesome when you get to the championship game, but it can be a little challenging when you're playing a team that has already played and won on that court, and so they're not – you know, there's no nerves, there's no anything for them. They're a little more free. And we saw that last year when we played. We beat Cal in the first round as a 6 seed, and then we played Wazoo, who was 3, I think, and we beat them pretty, you know, pretty convincingly as it was their first game. And that's the other thing, too, is sometimes these seeds 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, even in our league, they're playing for the NCAA tournament. And so they need to win a game or 2 or 3. And so you're playing teams with a little more motivation under their belt in terms of the do or die feeling. So we've got to make sure our guard is up and we just take it one at a time and not take any opportunity for granted. I think we've got to stay in the moment and just, you know, we're going to play Cal or Washington State, ironically. And so the winner of that game tomorrow will play on Thursday, and it's not going to be easy. And we just have to make sure we keep our guard up and come in swinging and not reacting.
Does last year's run help you this year? Because most of this crew's been through it together before.
Absolutely. Yes. I think there's a different level of confidence I can even just sense from them. And not that that's going to translate to, you know, domination. I'm just saying, like, there isn't a, it's very much a confidence and a swagger to, like, okay, we've done this, we can do this. We know what it takes to do this, and not that it's easy, but there, you know, there's no greater confidence boost than having had success doing it. So yeah, last year's run was, I think, huge for us in a lot of ways, but certainly as we head down to Vegas today, I can sense just a little different vibe.
There are very few certainties in life, as you know. Death and taxes are two of them, but you guys are pretty close to a certainty to host in the first and second round at the Huntsman Center. That is an advantage that we've seen a lot of programs, Stanford, UConn, South Carolina in recent years, really take advantage of. How much could a good crowd, and what would you say to the people listening in about getting tickets for that first and second round? Obviously, they won't announce the sites until they announce the seeds, but when that comes out, what would you say to the folks here in Salt Lake City?
Oh, man, I would just so appreciate them coming out and supporting. And I think the biggest thing is showing that Salt Lake City is a great sports town, and that we, you know, Salt Lake City loves the youth, and it's a chance to show the country, you know, on ESPN and what we're all about. And I think our game against Stanford, we had 10,000 people that showed, you know, the potential here for us to build something that is long lasting. And I think hosting is a great, you know, first step to that, and we need their support. And, you know, last year we went down to Austin, Texas, and in the first and second round we played Arkansas on a neutral court and won by 23 or 24 points. And then we played Texas, you know, at Texas in Austin in front of their 10,000 fans, and it mattered. And we got beat, and that's what our locker room was afterwards. Next year we want to host so that crowd can be cheering for us. And it's an incredible thing. It's wind in your sails. And so I would just love to see Salt Lake City get behind it. There's going to be 4 great teams. Give all those players and programs a great experience of what Salt Lake City is about.
And we'll find out what Sunday night, because the women's selection show just follows like an hour or two after the men's show. Is that right? Or is it Monday?
No, it's Sunday.
It's Sunday night.
It's 5 or 6. Yeah. Sunday the 12th.
That's right. So Selection Sunday for the men is also Selection Sunday for the women, and probably an hour or hour and a half, because men usually go at about 4 hour time. I think your show would be at 4, 5, or 6. And then
yeah,
I would guess tickets,
right.
I would guess tickets would go on sale just about that same time that they announced the seating, right?
Correct. Yeah. And I can't imagine a scenario, like you said, death and taxes are guaranteed. This is not a guarantee, but I can't imagine a scenario where it doesn't happen. So people need to be ready for that and block those days off and show people what it's about.
Yeah, get your tickets. We'll talk more about that next week when we have a little bit more certainty with it. Hey, before we go, I was asking this question. Somebody asked me this question last week, and I thought about it, and I thought it was a fun question. I'd been asking guests on the show and some of the listeners too. Where or what kind of created your love for sports, Lynn? Where did your love of sports come from?
Oh, man, I don't remember life without sports, but I grew up, I have 2 older brothers, and we grew up on a cul-de-sac in California, Central Valley of California, and I was the only girl on the street and it was whatever sport you could think of and some made up. That's all we did. And so, you know, not a lot of weather issues down there. And so it was always kind of sunny and warm enough to be outside. And that's where I got my competitiveness for sure. I remember, you know, they would play football, tag football. And I just, because I was the little sister, I could just be all-time center. So I just got to snap the ball for both teams, which is not glamorous, but at least you're out there. I think that's where I've just always been around it and just love, you know, I don't sit still very well either. So I just love sports and I love all the things about it too. I love watching it, playing it, doing things for fun, recreating with it. It's the best.
Did your brothers protect you or were you fair game?
Both. They didn't protect me unless there was a real threat.
Okay.
But I was also very much fair game in their eyes. There's a lot of stories there. I'm sure I could probably use some therapy for all the things that they did to me, but they also looked out for me and still do. So it's a great dynamic. It was fun having older brothers.
That's the beauty of sports though, man. If you want to play and you want to be out there with everybody, there's no special set of rules. If you want to play with us, you play by our rules and that's how it is. But the brothers are there to make sure it doesn't go above and beyond.
Right. Well, I will tell you this last caveat. I remember we were playing basketball in the driveway, and my oldest brother was, like, picking on me or, I don't know, something. And I went in, and my dad was reading the paper, and I was kind of crying. And I said, you know, Dad, Chris is whatever. And he kind of pushed the paper down so he could look over the paper at me. He said, well, then don't play. And it was a great moment for me where I thought, oh, that's right. Like, toughen up, you know, either you play or you don't. Like, if it's too hard, then don't play. But if you want to play, then toughen up. And that's kind of how it goes. And that's what I love about it.
You ever had to say that to one of your players? Just look down on him and say, well, then don't play.
Yes, I have.
That's great. Dad's callback line. That's awesome. Well, hey, congratulations. It's just been a great culmination of lots of hard work over lots of years, but the work's not done. It's just another step this year. So have a good week down in Vegas. We'll be listening to Tyson and Miley making the calls, and we'll talk to you when you get back. Sound good?
All right. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Lynn. That's Lynn Roberts with us, the Pac-12 Coach of the Year here on the Bill Riley Show.